One of the great things about growing up across the street from a land-grant college was the amazing amount of free advice that you could get when it came to the business of growing things, whether you were farming hundreds or thousands of acres to make a living or tending a backyard garden to put up a few quarts of tomatoes for the winter. You could always learn about how to do what you were doing by hanging around at the Agricultural Extension Office at Michigan State. There were seminars and lots of leaflets about different kinds of seeds and different kinds of vegetables, and even a lab separated from the lobby by a giant window so that you could see the scientists at work at their benches. One of the things that we did every year was to take four samples from four different places in our quarter-acre garden, each one about the size of a jam jar, to the lab. And in about a week, you would get back an incredibly detailed report on the composition of the samples that you had brought in. You numbered each one of them, and you plotted out where each sample had come from, and you would find out that even though it all looked like dirt, it was actually pretty different from place to place. And this report would give you recommendations about the kind of fertilizer you could use to balance the soil and the kinds of things that would do well or maybe not so well growing in that ground. And then we would go to the Farm and Fleet store and buy an enormous bag of the recommended balance and spread it around in the dirt. I think of all that and remember it fondly when I reflect on this morning's story about the sower. If you look it up in your Bible at home, there's a pretty good chance that you will see that this section of Matthew even has a subtitle, which is, of course, the parable of the sower. In fact, pretty much all of the 13th chapter of Matthew is taken up with various parables or metaphors with an agricultural theme. The sower, the weeds among the wheat, the mustard seed, all of it appears here. But there is a little irony that bears just a brief mention and maybe not so brief reflection. And it is simply this, that the parable of the sower is not really about the sower. It's not even about the seed. All of the seed is really the same. The parable of the sower is really about the soil. It's about the variety of outcomes realized by exactly the same seed, depending entirely on the conditions in which the seed falls. It really should be called the parable of the dirt, or the parable of the agricultural extension agent. That would be only mildly interesting if Jesus' point were to teach us something about farming. But that isn't the point of the story. The point of the story is to teach us something about the life of faith, and especially about growing the community of faith. Now remember the old warning. Parables are not parallels. There is no magic code. There is no one-for-one substitution here for understanding the story in our own context. Instead, the story is meant to give us a better sense of our own circumstances, in just the way that it was meant to speak in familiar and intelligible terms to a group of people who worked the fields of ancient Israel. There are three messages here for us to consider. They are about discernment, about patience, and about endurance. The different outcomes in this story don't have anything to do with the sower. They have to do with the varying conditions of the soil. Jesus even describes what shapes those conditions. Too close to the path, where the seeds will be exposed instead of covered by soil. Too rocky, not enough depth for roots. Too untended, choked with weeds. Each of those immediately brings images to mind. Even for us, we get it that there are some places that are good to plant and other places, maybe most places, that don't work out so well. But think about this. It does not seem to be up to the sower what the outcome is. The parable of the sower is not a manual about how to build the church. It is a forecast about how our work will turn out. The seed we plant is the same, but the outcome of our work will vary. That seems a little hard to grasp, because after all, we want to believe that everyone who hears what we have to offer, everyone who comes church shopping just once, will get it and come to stay. We feel a little downhearted when it seems that so few people seem interested in the message we have to offer. A message of faithfulness grounded in an openness to inquiry and challenge. A message of acceptance and tolerance in a world increasingly seduced by polarization and the self-vindication of judgment. But all hearts are not the same, and all people are not the same, and that is why we have moved, by the grace of God, from a covenant of rules under which we were justified by law to a relationship of grace in which we are justified by faith. There simply will be different outcomes. Some won't get it or won't have a chance to understand. Some will have the chance and not take it. Some will respond with great enthusiasm and fervor and yield a faith that really is much more about their own needs than about God's hopes. And some, who knows how many or how few, will set down roots and bloom year after year. Dealing with those different outcomes demands a lot of us. At the very least, it demands a lot of patience. We so want to make change quickly, to see dramatic reversals of fortune. Sort of like that monk who won the Powerball lottery this month. Did you all hear about that? Somehow the more sudden and dramatic the change, the more we are convinced by it. We love the theatrical. But the first requirement of being a farmer is patience. People who tend the soil understand that progress is incremental and success is not an overnight phenomenon. Weeds grow quickly. Crops do not. They take more energy and more time because they are focusing their energies on creating something of value and not just reaching for the sun. Finally, consider, if you will, that sower. Even though the outcome is so different in each case, the sower does not change tactics. The agricultural extension agent would have a lot to say about this. He would say that the sower is wasting his time and his investment by putting seed where it almost certainly will not grow. No good farmer plants in the rocks. No good farmer fails to clear a field of weeds before planting in it. And as my mother used to observe, every farmer expects to lose the crops that grow along the fringe of the road. But this is a parable and not a parallel. It is not a teaching about how to grow crops. It is a teaching about how God chooses through us to build the church. You can listen to this story as the soil and wonder what kind of soil will be found in your heart for the seed of this small, radical, profound message of love. You can wonder whether your heart is made of the stone of indifference or choked with the weeds of hate and resentment or prepared to be a place where roots will sink deeply and fruits worthy of an awareness of God's gifts will grow. Or you can listen to this story as the sower and reflect on what it means for how we do the work of the church. Yes, we could be more efficient in our efforts to spread the message. Yes, we could do targeted marketing or a specific kind of social media campaign or even a survey of Newton households. But there is a message of radical hospitality here, of profligate inclusion that we cannot ignore. There is an echo of this all the way at the end of Matthew's gospel, where Jesus teaches his apostles at the very end of the story to go and spread the news to all nations. What makes the Christian message so radically different from practically all other religions of the world is at least this. From the beginning, it has not been a means of defining identity, but a hope for uniting human hearts. Christianity is not a faith of chosen people. Christianity is, or is meant to be, a faith of grateful people. People so grateful that they cannot wait to share the treasure that has been given to them. So it is not our task to find the good soil. It is our task to prepare the earth within our hearts to be the good soil that will yield a harvest. It is not our task to plant only in good soil. It is our task to plant everywhere, trusting that by God's grace, somewhere the crop will flourish. Amen.